So, Caleb and Hillary, can you name this TV show theme?
Bonanza.
Well, that was quick.
Oh.
Good job. Bonanza aired for the final time on NBC.
That was way faster than I could.
In 1973, the popular Western drama had been on the air for more than 13 years. Pretty good run.
Yeah.
Wow. Right? Lorne Greene. I remember him doing Alpo commercials for a long time. Michael Landon.
Oh, yeah.
Little House on the Prairie. I know that.
Okay.
Oh, that was another show.
I have to say, the only reason I knew it so quickly is because randomly in our camping gear a couple of few years ago, we found a 2-CD set of old Western music, and we make our children listen to it when we go on vacations and camping.
I enjoy Bonanza. I don't have any in my current household, but at my parents', I know my older brother bought some Bonanza DVDs back in the day, and so we watched episodes, but I didn't watch nearly as many as he did, so... We've all heard that Miss Manners says what? And a lot of times Miss Manners was our mother, right? Or our father saying, you know what? Remember to always do this or never do that. Well, we're curious this morning, what are some little etiquette rules that you believe everyone should follow? Hit us up with a text at 715-396-1670. Guys, Country Living had this list, and we're not going to go through all of them, but 50 little etiquette rules that they say everyone should remember to do or not do these things. A few, for instances, say please and thank you.
That was a huge one. I was a huge one on please. I mean, it's like, as a dad, I was like, if you take nothing else.
Right.
That you will always say please and
thank you.
It's a huge deal.
Yeah.
This one,
absolutely.
I really enjoyed this one. Smile. They said at the cashier, the bank teller, your coworkers.
It's so true. Even random people, smiles are contagious. We talked about that a while ago. Smiles
like
and kindness are
they're
contagious.
Like
something that I've learned from Hillary, because Hillary is so good at just striking up conversations with random people. And I might not have that ability, but I've tried to, you know, just if I'm passing by somebody on the street or in Walmart or whatever, just smile.
Smile.
What's wrong with just smiling at somebody?
What's really bad is when you make eye contact and smile at someone and they do it back and then you're like, oh, they're creepy.
Anyway.
Walk faster. No.
Couple more here. Hold the door for the person behind you. Now, this gets a little awkward when you hold the door and they're a long way away. But still, it's a great gesture,
It's kindness.
It's kindness.
Yes.
I'm a big door holder.
Yes. Here is one. Step outside to answer phone calls. And I think going along with that, maybe not pulling your phone out of your pocket or purse in certain situations. Just leave it behind.
In most situations, we say.
Even though I'm looking at mine right now. Again,
That's different.
I've talked about it before. Device-free dinner, that website, the ads are really good. So
Very cool.
What are yours? What are modern manners, you say, whether it's been around for a long time or just recent with technology, 715-396-1670.
You know what my top is?
What?
When you're at a store and you have a ton of stuff in your cart and someone only has like two or three things, let them go in front of you.
Yeah.
Just let them. And people are so happy when you let them go in front of you. But it's such a small thing because it's going to take them a minute, you know?
I love deferring like
that.
Yeah, in traffic.
Like some people, and they'll just wave you on, whether you're a pedestrian or you know, when someone lets you in, say in the cities.
Right.
There's some Minnesota nice over there when they let you in and just kind of wave you through, and you always give them a little wave.
Yes,
you know,
the wave.
Is it kind of odd we're talking about modern manners with the theme of Leave It to Beaver behind
us? No, because they were more polite back then. We got to, like,
I washed behind my ears, Mrs. Cleaver.
Easter Island is known for those giant head statues. So
where is Easter Island?
Easter Island is in, now you're really quizzing me. It's, I want to say it's in the Pacific Ocean. It's southern, off South America, I believe.
Okay. I do know there's water all surrounding it.
It's an island.
And it has big heads.
Oh, I know when the War of 1812 was, too. But anyhow, go ahead.
Nice. So Easter Island is known, though, for those giant head statues. And if you've ever seen them, I've seen them at museums. They have them.
They're
like,
super cool. Yeah.
They're massive. And there's all kinds of mystery around them. Like, A, how did they get there? And how did these ancient civilizations move them? And, just crazy.
Like a Stonehenge type of a thing.
It's by the way, it's 2,000 miles off the coast of Chile. So.
Oh.
Just saying. Yeah. Huh.
Knowledge.
Knowledge. So they have solved one of the mysteries of this. They researchers from six U.S. institutions isolated an area down there and started looking at why these statues are where they are, because they could never figure out why. Why did they put them here? Well, it turns out when they've really looked into the underground water and that in the area, it turns out that all of these are located where fresh water used to be. So, yeah. And they so fresh water on this island is a hot commodity because you're surrounded by salt water and there's no above ground streams or rivers. And so, yeah, the it's all along the aquifers underneath.
Fascinating.
Is, how did they know? How did they know?
I think it'd be so cool to be to actually be able to go out and try and figure things like that out. Probably a lot of frustration before they actually find the answers, but cool.
Yeah, it says building the statues wasn't inexplicable behavior, but something that was not only culturally significant, but central to their survival.
Huh.
Who knew?
Yeah, really. Hey, any more Manners updates from our listeners at 396-1670?
I don't know that I've gotten a lot. Let me click over to that page. Oh, yeah, saying excuse me, that's a big one, right? Yeah. Or if you're from Wisconsin or Minnesota, saying, oh. I
can
find
I just
myself
sneak
doing
by
that
ya?
So much. Can I sneak by you?
Yeah, there
grab
we go.
A ranch.
And do that.
WWIB, it's 8:20 on this Wednesday morning.
So, islands.
Islands.
I don't own one.
Well, I mentioned earlier, you know, we were talking, you guys were talking about sports, and I was all, you know what else is fun? Laying on a beach with a book. Well, hey, I found us a beach to lay on, friends. It's a 20-mile long island. It's 20 miles long, 4 miles wide, absolutely gorgeous. It's filled with thousands of penguins, and it's for sale.
This is like Mr. Popper's Penguins in real life, assuming that you have a lot of money to pay for
it. A woman came to a memorial service over the past weekend on Sunday. And she had just the coolest penguin sweater. These really large penguins on the sweater. So tell us more.
Okay, so this property is for sale. It's just off the coast of Argentina, I guess. It's home to 5 species of penguins, plus many other bird species, as well as sea lions, cattle, and 6,000 sheep. This sounds like the perfect place for me to spend time.
Sounds delightful. It's sort of like Settlers of Catan, but you get penguins, too.
I know. Well, and so they're selling this island, and I kind of want it. They said that it's hard to pin down an actual price, so there's no official asking price. Instead, the family hopes a buyer with an interest in farming. He said the sheep produce
like
a lot of wool.
Go to an auto dealer's website, and they say, click to see our internet price.
Yeah.
Just tell me how
just,
much the
no,
car
this
is.
Says, we hope that this person will bring us a proposal.
Oh.
Whatever. I just want to... hang out with
bucks.
Penguins. Yeah, right? It'd be expensive to live on this island. And I would have to have all kinds of servants and whatnot to make my island living not a lot of work.
So I'm feeling some radio embarrassment because here's why. Because we talk about stories off air before we go on air.
Yes.
And we talked about the island and we came right up to the, not knowing what we were talking, and Caleb said island. And I went ahead and shared the penguin sweater story and you hadn't even mentioned penguins yet. So I'm like, oh, man.
I didn't even
that was the off-air. So your reaction was, oh, that's interesting, because now let me tell about penguins. So,
I didn't even notice.
Oh, yeah, that's what happened. I'm like, that was off-air. And so the listeners are like, why would Mark just share penguins?
He's just quirky like that,
I'm
folks.
Ahead of the
we
game.
Enjoy him every day.
I just know she's going to share about penguins. So.
Okay, I think the best part of this whole segment is that we literally were like...
I'm sweating now.
I'm telling you, pulling back the curtain. We're like a half a second away from going, and I'm like, well, what's it going to be, guys? And
well, the only
Mark's
other thing
like,
we could...
well, we're on the air now!
Yeah.
The only other thing that we could do is make fun of the fact that Mark and I both dressed in khaki and light
and
purple shirts today.
And didn't mention it for an hour and 22 minutes.
Not on the air, but immediately upon walking in the studio this morning.
Yes, you did.
I was like, oh, I love it when you guys coordinate outfits.
And obviously we've done 2 straight segments on islands, so I know at 8:45 something related to Gilligan's Island. This is No Man Is an Island, 10th Avenue North. Even though we played some of their tunes earlier, you just got to 13 Degrees at Webb. We were talking about penguins, but what about this amazing story from 12 years ago, right? Talk about scary. In Tallahassee, Florida, on this day, a hunter's wife said that when she opened her refrigerator, the duck her husband killed 2 days earlier raised its head and looked at her.
Oh.
The woman said she freaked out, told her daughter, get that duck to the hospital right now.
No.
And the duck was patched up and taken to a wildlife sanctuary.
That was her first reaction? What a caring individual.
I know. Yeah, that is, you're right.
It's smiling at me.
That is crazy.
Oh, wow.
Boy. Oh, my. I never heard that story.
Yes. Calls to mind a Chris Farley movie, but that was a deer in the backseat of a car.
I tried to do something so nice for my family the other night. I made this dinner that they hated with quinoa. garbanzo beans and spinach and bits of pepper.
It's like very healthy.
It's quinoa day today.
I know. I made quinoa the other day, and they were very unimpressed. But I kept telling them, you just wait. If you eat all of that, Mom made a yummy dessert. It's in the oven right now. Made dessert.
I'm impressed by the level of planning and dedication to healthy eating, plus, you know, the little carrot, and yet it was a cookie
yeah.
at the end.
Okay, so I'm going to be really honest. It was like one of those steamer microwave bags. So, I mean, there wasn't a lot of planning. It was like, open the freezer now, heat that up. It's been in there for a while. It's got to go because no one wants to eat it. Anyways, so Mom had some leftover cookie dough in the refrigerator, and it said on the tub, it said, just, you know, can be stored for up to 60 days in the refrigerator or up to 6 months in the freezer. So I'm thinking, yeah, I bought it in December for Christmas, didn't get it used. So I plunked a bunch of dough on a pan. We're going to have warm cookies coming out of the oven at the end of dinner.
Mom of the year.
Right, maybe put a little vanilla ice cream in there.
Nice.
Right?
And so what kind of cookies are these? Did you mention already? Molasses cookies.
Molasses cookies.
Glass of milk or some ice cream?
Right.
Sure, yeah.
So you want them over after the dinner.
Well, I took them out of the oven. I don't know what happened to the cookies, okay? They were like these flat, weird, like you could roll them up, but they were like, they were chewy, but like not in a good way. In a, like they were so stuck to
like
your
rubbery
teeth.
Rubbery type
yes.
of texture.
It was like they were overbaked and underbaked at the same time. Hmm. I don't know how that
Hard to achieve that.
Thanks, Mom, for serving molasses fish sticks.
They were so bad. Ew. You guys, they were awful. And I don't know why.
Huh.
But now here's the really good part. So my husband, whom I love, last night, he said, so you talked about Girl Scout cookies on the air this morning, huh? I said, yeah, you listened? He said, well, I looked at your podcast and it said cookies. And I thought, oh, they throw me under the bus all the time. I bet you she talked about her failed cookies. Nope. The bus misses you every time, doesn't it?
Not today, Dean.
There we go.
So there, Dean.
Yeah.
See, I threw myself.
She tells on herself occasionally. So
I don't know what. How do you overbake and underbake a cookie at the same time? I don't understand.
Hmm.
I can't.
That's hard. Hard to achieve that.
Is there like a makeup plan in place? Like, is your family demanding restitution for the lost dessert?
I don't know what they want. I just eat your quinoa and leave me alone, kid.
Hmm.
I don't know.
Better luck next time.
Well. When
I threw the rest of the
done,
dough away.
It's important to just exhale. Plum, WWIB, WIB Wake Up Show. Focus at 9.
Hey, this is Caleb from the WIB Wake Up Show. Thanks so much for taking a listen to this. You can catch the show live weekday mornings 5:30 to 9 a.m. on 103.7 FM out of Eau Claire, 94.3 FM in Wausau, 93.5 in Marshfield, 93.7 FM in La Crosse, and anywhere at WWIB.com or via the TuneIn radio app or your Amazon Alexa and Google Home devices.